In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For the past 3 weeks of Easter, we have enjoyed profound considerations to the stories of the risen Christ. To use an old phrase in the early church, we've been flooded with Easter graces. But today, always on today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, Mother Church places before us a single picture that recapitulates the story of the risen Lord. One of the most ancient and primitive, enduring, endearing images of our Lord, Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And yes, the images of shepherd and sheep can be found throughout the Scripture, through the Old Testament. They pepper the Psalms, through the New Testament, through formularies of the saints. They're entrenched even in our religious language. Priests are often referred to as pastors, the congregation as the flock. Bishops hold croziers in the shape of shepherd's staffs. But I propose today that the greater proof of the holiness of the image of shepherds and sheep is this. If you've never touched a sheep, if you've never known a shepherd, I've never known a shepherd, if you have no frame of reference of the relationship, the close relationship between shepherd and sheep, nevertheless, the image of Jesus as Good Shepherd on the stained glass window and the written word and statue and print still communicates the oneness, that intimacy between Christ and his mystical body we call the church. It is a truly holy image, and it comes to us always today on this fourth Sunday. On a very personal note, I believe in that old phrase, if not always, but much of the time, that we love most what we love first. As a little boy, I grew up in St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Morehead City, North Carolina. And many of the depictions on the windows were that of St. Andrew and the other disciples, especially the fishermen, because we were near the ocean. But above the high altar was the dramatic Good Shepherd window. As an altar boy at the age of 8, growing up as a young teenager, as a seminarian, as a young man, that image nourished me, communicated to me without me even knowing the love and the intimacy and the oneness between Jesus and his mystical body, the church. And we're not without our image here. Oh, and by the way, I tried to print it on the cover of the bulletin. It didn't work too well, but I found it on the internet, but that was the window. But here, too, we have an image of Good Shepherd, but it's practically hidden. But the oldest statue in this church, dating to 1858, is the beautiful carving made of walnut wood, was part of the original altar in the early days of this church, is placed on the side of the organ next to the Father Houghton window. Don't leave today without looking, touching, allowing that holy image to infuse your souls. And so the image of the Good Shepherd is holy. It was treasured in the early church. It has been cherished through all the centuries since by the church. And today on this fourth Sunday, it is ours to have and to hold. And so now I come to the point of the sermon. How does Jesus fulfill his office as Good Shepherd in our lives, other than just the inspiration, the holiness of this image? In two ways, through his words and through his very body. And the words and the very body of Jesus are never separated. They are interrelated always. But first, the words. Once upon a time, the words of Jesus caused miracles. I say to you, as it said in the epistle today, Tabitha, arise. She raised from the dead. Young man, I say to you, arise. He said to the thief beside him on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And that thief knew of eternal life. Once upon a time, the words of Jesus had power. But once upon a time is also now. They have no less life-giving power as the day they were spoken. Some years ago in a former parish, I remember a middle-aged man joining the church. And the curious thing was, he wasn't returning to his faith or coming back to the church. He had never been to a church. It was all new to him. Even the Our Father, the Hail Mary, he had never heard any of it. And I never will forget, we were doing a Christmas Mass, and the hymn "In the Bleak Midwinter" was being sung. And he looked at the congregation and he was sobbing. Because for the first time in his life, he was viewing and hearing these words of our Lord and the words of the hymn. But in thinking about that, I believe with all of my heart that my soul, though having that hymn memorized for most of my life, was no less nourished by those words, though my emotions might be different. The words of Jesus are powerful. And one of the reasons we discipline ourselves to come to experience the Mass mystery every week is to have the words of Jesus poured into our souls, because souls are porous. And whatever the condition of our faith, whatever our emotions, our souls need that nourishment. And so we come to the knowledge and to the ministry and the love of the Good Shepherd through his words. But then also through his body, the Eucharist, never to be separated from his words. Because what Jesus promised in his words, he fulfills in the Eucharist. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd." In the Eucharist, the Good Shepherd comes to us through bread and wine. He says in his words, "I lay down my life for the sheep." In the Eucharist, he pours his life into our souls. In his words, he says, "I know my own, and my own know me." In the Eucharist, he fulfills the claim, "As you eat my flesh, I will abide in you, and you will abide in me." His words say, "Other sheep have I, and I must bring them too." In the Eucharist, he collects more and more, the lost sheep, the stray sheep, the damaged sheep, for all are welcome and none are despised in the body of Jesus. And it grows and it is blessed. So in the Mass mystery today, and every Sunday, but especially today on Good Shepherd Sunday, we embrace the words of the Good Shepherd and the very body of the Good Shepherd. And in so doing, we embrace the love of Jesus and the intimacy of Jesus, the oneness in Jesus. Whole and entire. Amen.